the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the episode 126 of the Rant and Wrestling Podcast. I am Foodie KD, one half of the World Tag Team Champions. I'm joined here by a guy coming all the way from the West Coast. You know him, you love him. This is the West Side God.
West Side?
West Side. Yay, yay.
Yay, yay. Different time zones. Coming up next is the Tweener World Champion. Been on the first episode, been on the second, third, 126. This is Doomsday. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I think my body's starting to fall apart and shit. So that record may eventually die because I'm gonna be taking mad pain pills and passing the fuck out.
Oh, you was taking those a couple weeks ago.
Oh, hell yeah. I think it was last week. Yeah. It's like, I took some painkillers and shit and, like, muscle relaxers. So, I ended up passing out.
Alright. That's cool.
That shit.
Passing
that
out
shit,
is cool.
Yeah, you can't fuck with them opioids, man. That shit's dangerous.
We are brought to you by Rant EM Radio, where you can find them on Twitter at Rant EM Radio. And we're also on Podcast Garden. If you have a hard time finding us
in Stitcher,
we're on Stitcher too.
And iTunes.
Yes, yeah, iTunes. That is important too.
Yeah, we're on Stitcher, man. Like, because you know, Rant EM Radio has their own Stitcher thing.
We need to get on SoundCloud. Most people are on SoundCloud.
I can't tell you about that shit.
Y'all need to put it up. I'm done.
Hey, man, you're the guy doing all the technical shit. So
yeah,
it's all on you.
All the work. So y'all gonna have to do something. Because
hey,
I'm over as hell.
You had to give me the audio files. But anyway, let's just get to the point. Rant EM Radio, check out Freaks and Effing Geeks.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
all them nice ass shows that's on rantemradio.com.
G1 Climax.
Wait, you gotta plug the Twitter, right?
Yeah, we'll do that later once we plug everything up.
Yeah, gotta
all right. G1 Climax.
G1 Climax.
Who would have figured? Who would have thought? Nobody.
No,
nobody.
Not a single human.
No. Goddamn human.
Not a
no.
Goddamn
especially
sure.
Me.
Hell no.
Especially because you gave up on him early on.
So done.
The finals. Hirooki Goto versus Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega, the first white dude. I'm not going to say Gaijin because they're lying about that, really. The first Western white dude to win the G1 Climax. Wow.
Well, you could still say first guy not born in Japan, I guess. Whatever. Same difference.
So, Masa Chono was born in the States, and Riki Choju was born in Korea.
Well, he was a natural-born Japanese guy, right? They're both natural-born Japanese guys.
Yeah.
The first Canadian?
Well, no. Riki Choshu's actually half Korean, too. And, you know, Korea and Japan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because, like, the Koreans, you know, the funny thing about the Koreans, like, when they have, like, when they're, like, have dual citizenship and shit, like, they'll have a Korean name and a Japanese name.
Uh-huh.
In fact.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
they,
yeah.
They have two official names. Yeah, it's just like,
everything. My buddy, he's American born. He has a Korean name and an English name.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So Kenny Omega is the first what?
The first real Westerner to win. We'll just say first real Westerner.
First real Westerner.
Master Kono was out of here like quick.
Not like the fake ones we get nowadays.
Not like them fakes.
Real deal.
Not them fakes.
The Canadians out there doing it,
man. The Canadian-born guy who lives in Tokyo, apparently.
Yeah.
All right. But starting from the beginning, let me give you the point total. I won with 55. Pooty and Doomsday tied at 50. There was a day where Pooty got everything wrong.
Damn.
And then a day where Doomsday got everything wrong.
Rock, paper, scissors for second place.
Yeah. And one shot actually came up at 35. I was surprised. But first we had Friday's show. And I'm only doing the matches here. Friday, we started the show off with two guys who were out. Tenzin versus Tanada. Tenzin was hoping to get that third win, to at least finish off strong. And Tanada was like, fuck you, old dude. Tanada made him tap out to the cold skull. And Tenzin's out at 4 points. Tanada's out at 6 points. Up next, after having a 4-win record, he went straight into a losing whole lot of losses. Makabe was coming in with 8 points, and he was taking Ishii, who had a terrible record of loss, win, loss, loss, win, and Ishii was looking for his fourth win to get that to get up to 8 points, and these two motherfuckers tried to kill each other, and Ishii, he won it. So Makabe started strong and then finished terribly, but not as bad as, like, Tenzin.
Right.
That would suck, though. You start on a winning streak, and then you go right into the losing streak? No. In the match, it actually had some consequences. Fale could have possibly won if Tama Tonga just laid down, but Tama Tonga was like, nah, son.
Fuck
or
that.
Cousin. Yeah, fuck that.
Fuck all that. Like,
yeah.
I got too much pride for that bullshit.
Yeah, I actually kind of wanted him to win on the schoolboy right when he kicked out. That would have been hilarious. Tama Tonga gets his fourth win, 8 points. Fale sort of ends up tied in about third place, but at this point, first place with 10 points. So it was a pretty good match, too. It was fun. Tama Tonga actually picked it up halfway through the tournament, started feeling more confident, was looking good out there. And then next up, tied. It was Goto versus Marufuji. Goto had no victories over Okada or Tanahashi, whereas Marufuji was sitting on a victory over Okada and a loss to Tanahashi. So Goto needed a draw, and Marufuji needed Okada to win to get advance. And this match went down, and Goto actually won. And the first guy in Block A to get 6 victories, 12 points, one of the best matches of the tournament, in my opinion, Goto and Marufuji. And then the main event, I knew it was going to go down, and match was fucking awesome. One more time, Okada Tanahashi, goddamn. And Okada tried to finish that match in like 3 minutes. He's like, I am not dealing with this shit today.
Right. Smart move.
Yeah, but they went the full 30 minutes. Tanahashi actually hit the high fly flow. Referee was going for the count. The bell rung, but Okada still kicked out. So, yeah, went to a draw. The audience was stunned as fuck. I picked the draw, though, so I wasn't, but partway.
Yeah, you definitely called it. I remembered it. As soon as they was like, it was a draw, and I was like, well, you definitely called it.
Oh,
definitely did.
Yeah, but actually, when Goto won, I started to think maybe they wouldn't go to a draw, because, I mean, I like Goto. Goto's great, but Goto never wins the big one. If he was going to the finals, I'm like, yeah, there's a big chance that he's going to lose.
Big chance. Sorry.
Yeah. Drinking some soda right now.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
So wait, this is still Saturday show?
This is the Friday show. We're going Saturday show right now. Block B, which opened up with Hanma and Nagata. Nagata actually started off on a winning streak and went on a serious losing streak. Hanma kind of did with two victories, so Hanma was looking for that third win. Nagata was looking for that fourth win, but Hanma came through and won. Yeah. And then Yano versus Yoshihashi. Yano actually ended up with 10 points, 5 victories. Like, really? I mean, I knew he was going to get some wins, but come on, it's Yano, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then we got to the really good stuff. Shibata still had a chance to win this because he had the victory over Naito. He just needed, like, to tie him up. He would have went on. And he had the victory over Omega, too. But Evil was like, fuck you, and beat him. And he did this. He went after his arm. He did a like, Evo doesn't have any, like, actual submission moves, but there was a spot where he, like, grabbed fucking Shibata's arm and just started headbutting the shit out of his shoulder. He's like, fuck a submission move, I'm just gonna keep hitting your bad arm until you can't go anymore. This might have been Shibata and Evil's best match in the tournament, so definitely good. And then next up, a match I know Doomsday really liked because we were talking about it, Michael Elgin versus Katsuhiko Neutrogena.
Neutrogena. I'm just going to call him his by proper name, Nakajima.
He earned it
in that one. Yo, especially that match was fucking crazy, son. I love that shit. Shit was
yeah.
Bald. Like the selling was great on Elgin's part, but yeah, they worked that shit really well.
Yeah, and Nakajima won.
Spoiling yeah, I was a little pissed on that one, but oh well.
Yeah, ooh. Nakajima worked his ass off, and Elgin's been really good about being the dominating guy who the guy has to work up under to beat.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even when Naito, because Naito was working his leg and doing all that stuff, but Elgin would just keep trying to power his ass out. So, yeah, great match. And then the main event, the guy, everybody, okay, 75% of everybody. When you look at the voices of wrestling pick-ups, he was like every other person's choice at least. Naito taking on Kenny Omega, who lost to the other two favorites in the tournament thus far, Shibata, Elgin. I mean, Omega came in, you're like, oh yeah, he does have 5 victories. If he wins this, he actually wins. But I did not expect fucking Omega to beat Tetsuya Naito.
No one saw that shit coming.
No, in that spot, like when he's picking him up for the powerbomb apron, he's like, fuck that, and throws him through the table.
Yeah. Yo.
And then he did the old Bryan Danielson springboard to the crowd on his ass. And then a fucking apron dragon suplex, and that match still went another, like, 15 damn minutes. Omega was trying to kill Naito. Oh, my God. The crowd was like, holy shit, Omega won, yeah! And there you have the finals. Hirooki Goto barely gets into the finals because Okada and Tanahashi eliminate themselves, and he goes on to face Kenny Omega. Nobody thought these two would be ending. And there's actually statistics to this, because I was reading this. Let me grab the statistics real fast. This was the last time a first-time G1 competitor went to the finals was Okada in 2012, and before that was Goto in 2008. So this is so Kenny's already made history there, even if he would have lost. This is the first final since 2008 where neither man had been the IWGP heavyweight champion. And this is the first time since 2009 neither of the finalists were either Okada, Tanahashi, or Nakamura. So, I mean, it would have been a legendary finals before, Omega won because, of all the previous stuff, but damn, they went through. And then we got the final card. I'm going to breeze through it a little bit. I didn't watch the first two matches because they were tag matches with really no bearing, so I started with GBH fighting the Chaos tandem of Ishii and Yoshihashi. Chaos picked the victory. Yoshihashi looked pretty good, picking up the win himself. And then we had, we had the first of the Salvo in the New Japan versus Pro Wrestling Noah fight as Shibata and the New Japan Dads took on Nakajima, Go Shiozaki, Maibaki Taniguchi, and Masa Kitamaya in a match that was like, it was pretty good, but the ending was great, but Shibata gave Nakajima the sickest fucking headbutt in professional wrestling.
Yeah. That shit was nasty as fuck.
He busted himself open.
Yikes.
Yeah, Nakajima went down, but Pro Wrestling Noah team, Nakajima scored the victory on Nakanishi, and they had a pull-apart brawl. Shiozaki and Shibata were going at Nakajima was throwing kicks on Nagata. The crowd was eating that shit. That actually killed the crowd for, like, a little while, because that was fucking high. So, we know Nakajima's owed a title shot for the IC belt, and we know Marufuchi's owed a title shot for the main belt, so I'm expecting some New Japan versus pro wrestling shit to go down soon. All right, we had the tag title matches. The Briscoes took on the Bullet Club members of Hangman Page and Yujiro Takahashi, where Yujiro has finally achieved his final form as the Godfather, Yujiro Takahashi.
Mm-hmm.
He came up with four very pretty ladies, and a top hat and cane. So, okay. Tokyo Pimp's got the new shirt out. Check it out. It was a pretty good match. I think Takahashi and Hangman Page did pretty good as a tag team, including their double team move. The what was that, like a guillotine leg drop into a Dominator?
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. So I'm actually cool with Takahashi maintaining in the tag division. It was a hopefully we get the Briscoes versus Yoshihashi Ishii coming up. There was the ROH title match. Jay Lethal defeated Kojima. It was pretty good, but it should have went a little longer. Then we got two multi-man matches. Los Ingobernables, the Pawn, finally get the whole group together. The team up against Elgin, Tanahashi, Kushida, and Juice. Obviously, Kushida and Bushi got their shit. Naito looks like he might be going after Elgin. Tanahashi still got the beautiful locks of hair going, you know, and Juice Robinson takes the fall, obviously. And then we had the six-man match. Okada teaming with his buddy Yano. Yano's tag partner, Marufuchi from Noah, taking on Bullet Club of Fale and God. I know people have been, obviously, Tagovailoa ain't everybody's favorite guy, but I thought Tagovailoa didn't do nothing bad here. To be honest with you, Tagovailoa just did was just a basic strongman there in this match, which I think is his best stuff. As long as he's not trying to show any kind of charisma and just does moves, I'm perfectly fine with that shit. I actually like the Marufuchi interaction here with the way they twist and run around each other. Okada scored the victory over Tagovailoa. He calls out Fale because Fale beat him in the tournament. Then he turned his attention to Marufuchi. Teasing their match, Marufuchi wanted to shake his hand, and Okada was like, fuck you, and walked by him. So, we got that shit, but here we are. Kenny Omega versus Goto, main event. Goddamn, man. Goddamn. Yeah, and the crowd was mostly 50-50, though. There were a couple times they kind of booed Goto, because he kind of started working on Kenny's bad leg because of Naito. But, goddamn. And that final few minutes when Omega was trying to win, he pulled out Kota Ibushi's finishers, he pulled out Bullet Club leader finishers, the Bloody Sunday, the Styles Clash.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, and Goto, and this is the first time Goto's pulled out his Shoten Kai suplex side slam finisher in like, what, almost
a while.
Year?
Yeah, it's been a while since he busted it out.
When he hit that shit, I thought the match was over too. I'm like, holy shit, he's not playing around. But Omega kicked out. This was ridiculous, and the crowd went crazy. Omega wins, cuts a promo in English, then he cuts a promo in Japanese, and then he does the press conference the next night, which was fucking brilliant, because we know Kenny Omega speaks Japanese, but he was answering all the questions in English.
In English, he was being a real dick about it.
Yeah, and then he was telling the translator to do a better job translating his stuff. So, Omega specifically wants to go after Yoshihashi first, because everybody who beat him is owed a shot at his contract, and he said that Yoshihashi embarrassed him, so he wants to beat up Yoshihashi. So we got that'll probably be his first defense. All right. I'm going to go through my 15 matches of the tournament real quick, okay?
Cool.
Number 15, Katsuyori Shibata versus Tetsuya Naito, day 8. 14, Hirooki Goto versus Naomichi Marufuchi, day 17. 13, Tomohiro Ishii versus Naomichi Marufuchi on day 7. 12, Shibata versus Evil from day 18. 11, Elgin versus Nakajima, day 18. 10, Tanahashi versus Marufuchi, day 13. 9, Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Sanada on day 1. 8, Elgin versus Naito, day 4. 7, Goto versus Omega, the finals. 6, Tanahashi versus Ishii on day 11. 5, Okada versus Marufuchi day 1. 4, Elgin versus Kenny Omega, day 8. Number 3, Tanahashi versus Okada, day 17. 2, Naito versus Omega, day 18. And my favorite match of the tournament, and the match that Dave Meltzer gave 5 stars, Okada versus Ishii on day 13. And that is it for G1 Climax. Now we just got the Super J Cup on Sunday, single elimination. Not going to go through it real quick, but there are some Noah versus New Japan guys on this. Like Taguchi will be facing Kanemaru. I believe Kushida will be facing Kino. So you got that. You also got Seidel and Will Ospreay. These two have had pretty good matches before. There's also a bunch of other tag matches, like CMLL will be represented. The GHC tag titles will be on, junior tag teams will be on the line. ACH proven once again, got to get out of ROH to, you know, make it and shit.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you guys catch that thing on ACH's Twitter? Someone congratulated him for the Cedric Alexander Kota Ibushi
match. Oh, they thought that was him.
Yes.
Yeah, that shit was funny.
Damn it.
Yeah.
And that's when he was like, not all wrestlers look alike or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what he was talking about?
That's what he was talking about. Someone tweeted him, like, man, great job against Kota Ibushi.
Right. And the dude was like, yo, just because I'm black does not mean that I'm the same or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, and it didn't even look like the guy was joking, too. It was like, the guy legitimately thought ACH was Cedric Alexander.
We probably guess that a lot, too. I don't know. I know the difference between the two.
Yeah. And then also the Young Bucks versus Motor City Machine Guns. Speaking of the Young Bucks real quick, I was just thinking this the other day because I was thinking of the Lucha Underground Ultimo Lucha Dos, right? Mm-hmm. What was that guy's name that Dario Cueto killed?
Was Bro? It B-Boy?
No.
Cisco.
Oh,
that's right.
Cisco!
I forgot, because Matanza killed B-Boy.
Yeah. I met Cisco when Little Cholo, as he's known as. He's the guy who actually taught me how to run the ropes of a wrestling ring. And it just occurred to me, like, shit, Dario Cueto killed the only guy who actually gave me a wrestling lesson. And that was the same show, right? Where the Jacksons were there, right? Matt was, like 16, 17. He was wrestling my buddy Vito. And Nick was in a triple threat match with, and he was, like, 14 at the time, with two of the other guys I used to backyard wrestle with. I just thought about that shit, like, god damn. Not only am I old, what the fuck, man? I remember the fucking Young Bucks when they were teenagers. And Little Cholo when he wasn't that big and that old looking. I don't know. I just, for some reason, that shit came to me. fucking Dario Cueto killed him. God damn.
With the Red Bull.
Yeah. He was showing another one of these guys I knew how to do a bit where they flip off your shoulders from a power bomb. And my buddy almost landed on his fucking neck. He had to push him at the last second to make sure he landed on his feet.
Right.
Yeah, wrestling is dangerous, people. Because out here sometimes they do these weird semi-indies where they have, like, backyarders on the same shows as pros or vice versa. I think Paul London did this shit, too. Because I had this guy who used to run backyard shows. He had Paul London on one of his shows. Like, what the fuck, right? And I guess some 16-year-old boy on one of these at this weekend got fucked up and put into a hospital. I don't know.
Let's see. What
so if you're in California and you're doing these fake-ass indie shows where you got pros and backyarders, stop that shit.
Are we moving on to Monday Night Raw?
I'm sorry, I just had to go on some random shit, right?
Oh, Monday Night Raw. All right.
If there's anything, because I heard it wasn't the best go-home show, but then again...
SmackDown actually won this week when it came to all the pageantry and whatnot. Yeah,
so that's like 2 weeks in a row for you then with SmackDown?
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row for me, basically.
Last week was barely, like, squeezing past. This week, I think, was SmackDown's, like, win. Legit win. They ain't getting week one. Week one was Raw off-rip. you know. But
it burned out after the first show.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you had a new women's champion. Roman Reigns lost. That's all you really need. But yeah, last week was kind of wish-wash, but still SmackDown 1. This week, SmackDown 1. Like that, like Raw lost. So what happened on Raw? Anything special? Anything good?
There was a whole Sheamus and Cesaro beef that's been going on. Sheamus ended up facing Sami Zayn, and Cesaro interfered in the match. And then eventually ended up becoming some type of, like, I think they're going to do a best of, like, seven series, but they're going to start that series at SummerSlam. So the first match of that series is at SummerSlam.
Okay. That's cool. What else happened?
New Day and the Dudleys.
Wow.
Went down. Freudian slip, my bad. The New Day won that match, and then of course Gallows and Anderson are still doing their whole vignettes with the ring postitis and whatnot. What else happened? Not much. And then of course Nia Jax had her another squash match, this time against a wrestler by the name of Rachel Levi. Or Levy, or whatnot. Ooh, that was tingly, right? she had a match against a girl named Rachel Levi. People were ogling over that, John, because she was, like, all blue-haired and nice and whatever. She beat the shit out of that girl. She actually tossed her out of the ring. I think she rested her, like, on the top rope and then pushed her off. And then she fell out the ring. That shit was nasty as hell. What other happened? Nia Jax, basically now she's been doing what you'd call a Samoan power slam, which basically looks like it starts off as like a Samoan drop, but then she ends up in mid like action, she flips you into like a power slam. So it's actually a pretty cool move. Yeah. What else? There was a segment with Brock Lesnar.
I looked her up. Her name's Delilah Doom.
Yeah. She's in the Texas Indies and whatnot.
Yeah, it says she was trained by Funaki.
Yeah, that's cool. But yeah, she seems like an interesting person to be around. So to speak. But the next match, it wasn't a match, it was a segment between Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, and Heath Slater. Heath Slater came out because he had wanted another shot. This time he was going to face Brock Lesnar in order to try to get his win favor on Raw. And basically, he's talking about how he's trying to feed his kids, his motherfucking kids. And then Brock was about to give him a shot, talking about like, oh, all right, it's cool that you have some kids, man. I got kids too. But then after a while, he was like, I don't give a shit about your kids. And the bricks off of Heath Slater, like, completely demolished him. It was a massacre. It was terrible. But, after that was the Big Cass versus Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens lost the match. It was a disqualification and whatnot. What ended up happening after the match, Jericho and Owens basically beat up Cass and whatnot, and everything went to hell. Rusev beef between Roman Reigns and Rusev. That shit's still going on. Rusev out here beating the shit out of Roman Reigns in the back, and it's become pretty ugly. Primetime Players have a match against the Shining Stars. Bob Backlund is actually tried to get them back together, I guess, or whatever, but things didn't work out. Darren Young ended up accidentally knocking O'Neil off the ropes, that typical type of shit that happens with Titus coming in and hitting him with the Clash of the Titus and them losing the goddamn match.
I love the name of that move, Clash of the Titus.
Clash of the Titus.
That is brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's a cool move to see. But, yeah, then, of course, Adrian Neville versus Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal came out in all black, looked like he got that Indian vibe going on with the head headscarf and all that shit like that, looked a real baller. He even got a new entrance theme, which is like an Indian-infused Indian hip-hop theme. I believe it's an Indian hip-hop group that made his theme, so it was really cool to have that. But, of course, Neville ended up picking up the victory with the Red Arrow. What else happened? Of course, Seth Rollins comes out and talks about the Demon King, blah, 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 because he did that earlier in the show. I didn't really give a shit too much about that. Anderson and Gallows faces the Golden Truth, and they end up beating them. But the New Day actually decides they finally want to retaliate for once. So they basically snuck up and ran up on Anderson and Gallows and beat them down. And they were about to crush Anderson's nuts with Francesca too. But he got pulled away with Gallows at the last minute. And the first, I believe this was the first Divas match of the night, was like Charlotte versus Alicia Fox. Of course, Charlotte picks up that victory. And of course, there's a whole bunch of like bullshit going on with Dana Brooke and Sasha Banks that was outside the ring. And Charlotte hits her and they beat her down and hit her with the figure eight. Blah, blah, blah. And then the final match of the night was actually Rusev versus Reigns, which was actually a really good match. Definitely a really good main event match.
Looking forward to their match.
What'd you say? Hopefully it'll be a lot. It could be.
They just had a match on Monday Night Raw.
I know.
WWE's weird because they don't mind giving away pay-per-view matches at any damn moment.
Yeah,
are we going to have 50-50 booking again?
I don't know. I hope it's not the case and Roman Reigns somehow picks up the victory. But yeah, that's what... I don't know. So Roman Reigns ended up picking up the victory for the end of Raw. So Raw was okay. It was decent. Not really much. Going to SmackDown. Originally, apparently they were advertising Usos versus American Alpha for this SmackDown. That's what they were advertising. That's what I heard through the grapevine. But then they changed it up. Ended up being Usos, American Alpha, and the Hype Bros versus the Vaudevillains, Ascension, and Breezango. Didn't really pay attention too much to this match. But it was, I guess, for what it was decent. It looked like there was like a big brawl, like near the beginning of it, between the two teams, which is, I guess, interesting. It's kind of cool how much animosity it seems like the tag teams on SmackDown have for each other, despite not having a title to fight for.
Of course,
maybe they're just mad that American Alpha has all the hype.
But yeah, it just looked. That's exactly what it looks like. They're really like they're just pissed that they're getting all the hype. And it was also American Alpha who connected with their finisher, the Grand Amplitude. To pick up the victory. Yeah. So apparently that's their tag team. Finisher. I never knew the name of it until now. But yeah, it's called the Grand Amplitude. I don't know what that means, but it's whatever. It sounds kind of cool, I guess.
They should have called it the American Ultra just because. I don't know.
American Ultra.
American Ultra.
Then they get sued by, what's his name?
Not as long as it's not on any material, because the movie's probably just trademarked. They could There's call it that, but they can't already? Put it on anything.
Right.
Work. That's why there's Captain Marvel and Captain Marvel.
Right. Well, Captain Marvel, he kind of goes by Shazam, though.
Well, that's what I mean. They can't sue them for using that name because it's not on the title of the comic book.
Right.
Yeah. That's kind of the same thing. That's why I'd probably call it, like, American Ultra if they wanted to. Besides, right. Who cares? The movie flopped.
Oh, that's terrible. Yo, yeah, I kind of feel bad for Max Landis, but at the same time, he's kind of douchey.
Yeah, it's so like, dude, I want to like you. So
I want to like this guy, but then he comes up with some shit that's like, yeah, just stop talking, dude.
And he made that great wrestling video, like, I like you, and then the next week it's like, I want to punch you if I see you in the anywhere.
Like, some of his, like, ideas on comics is really annoying, and then, like, I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't know. Oh, well, we didn't veer off that far because he's a wrestling fan. Whatever. But going to the next match, it ended up being Naomi versus Eva Marie. You know how this bullshit went. Naomi came out with her new entrance. That shit was baller as fuck. Everybody was hyped as shit because it was like pitch black, and then she had all the goddamn like glow in the dark on, shaking that booty all over, tossing like glowing glow sticks and glow rings in the crowd. It was crazy. Everybody was loving that shit. But of course, as soon as she got in the goddamn ring, the announcer guy says that she couldn't even make it to the arena. So that she did that big ass entrance for nothing. Absolutely nothing.
That's terrible.
Yo, even her hair is glowing in the dark. This shit is crazy.
Yeah, no,
she's always had style too. Definitely one of the people who should have been a champion at one point.
Yeah, it's a shame. Like even Alicia Fox is a Divas champion. She could at least say that. But
yeah, Naomi, yeah, you're right.
And hadn't gotten a chance. That sucks.
And she is extremely talented too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's some bullshit. But we'll get to that with the smack, talking smack and all that shit. Oh, no, it's not. Is this talking smack? No, it's smack talk. That's what it was. Was it talking smack?
I thought it was talking smack.
I guess it was talking smack. Whatever, man. I don't
know. Whatever.
Smack talk. Same difference. AJ Styles and Alberto Del Rio have a segment backstage. AJ Styles is trying to, like, get him to, like, just make sure that he does everything he can to, like, soften John Cena up and whatever. Then, of course, there's the whole vignette for Curt Hawkins. Yes, Curt Hawkins is coming back. So we'll see. Most likely he'll probably be used as an enhancement talent or whatever. But it looks like during the promo, like the vignette form, they're basically kind of like using that. Remember that Chuck Norris meme with the Chuck Norris facts?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're basically doing that with him. I don't know how that's going to, yeah, but whatever. forget it. Fuck it. I'm not even going to go into it because, yeah. Next match was Randy Orton versus Heath Slater. This was a big-ass fight. Like, they just, like, basically, Randy Orton just beat the bricks off of him.
Hmm.
Yeah, he ignored the ref and ended up getting disqualified, so Heath Slater actually won the match. But after that, like, Orton just, I guess he wanted to just make an example out of Slater just to kind of, like, rub it in Brock Lesnar's face or trying to show Brock Lesnar, I could do shit too or whatever. So he basically beat the bricks off of Heath Slater after the match as well. And on his way out, Bray Wyatt and Eric Rowan come down to the ring and have a stare down with Randy Orton before they proceed to go. And which would kind of indicate, I guess, after the Lesnar-Randy Orton match that he'll be feuding with Bray, I guess. And then speaking of Bray,
Dean Ambrose faced Eric Rowan with Bray Wyatt in the corner. Dean Ambrose won the match. And after the match, Bray Wyatt was holding the sheet mask while he was in the rocking chair, and then at some point he just gets up, tosses the sheet mask, and then just walks away. So it looks like there's possibly the Wyatt family could end up just completely breaking up. I don't know. I guess it could be a good thing for Bray Wyatt, but as far as Eric Rowan, I don't know what the fuck he's gonna do. Fuck it. I don't know. But, yeah, then they had Becky Lynch and Carmella versus Natalya and Alexa Bliss. Didn't pay too much attention to this match besides Becky getting her shit in. I think at the end of the match, like, Eva Marie decides to freaking make her entrance during the match. Like she's about to enter and fight her own fucking battle, and then Naomi's like, "All right, fuck that." So she comes out and she's parading her, and she's basically going after Eva Marie. And while Eva Marie's trying to run away from Naomi, everybody gets distracted. Natalya tries to do some funny shit, ends up getting caught slipping by Becky. Becky taps her out. And so, yeah, Becky Lynch and Carmella end up winning that match via submission. Yeah, so that was basically it. Honestly, like, there wasn't much to SmackDown, but it just still felt like it was better than Raw was, you know? I don't know. I guess because, like, the hour less and the amount of action that was within it just made it seem a little better.
Did you not talk about Dolph Ziggler at all?
I didn't really give a shit about that segment.
Sorry, I zoned out. What happened?
Y'all did not talk about how these two are building the storyline
for
the world title?
They gave Dolph Ziggler something to do?
Yeah, they had the Miz TV shit, and, like, Dolph Ziggler super kicked Dean Ambrose, whatever. He had his big heel screaming promo thing that, "You gotta take me serious, damn it! And I'm that damn good."
Unless Dolph Ziggler actually wins, it doesn't matter.
And yeah, if he loses, dude, all that, like, melodrama would be for nothing.
Ambrose is mellow, too.
No, you know what melodrama is, right? It's like hype, like super drama. Like, it's like you're over dramatic. A little bit.
Okay. Well, y'all go ahead, say what y'all want. Yeah. I know.
If Ziggler loses, it's worthless. The only way Ziggler can get out of this looking good and lose is if he, like, destroys Ambrose in a DQ or some shit.
Right.
If he just loses the match, it's like, what was the point?
They'll just move on to someone else.
Yeah, man.
That's normally how they roll, normally.
By the way, I did listen to that Bobby Roode song. I think it's...
Yo, that's the best... his theme song and Shinsuke's gotta be the best two lately, definitely. Best two, like, so far. Like speaking of their theme songs, CFOS, whatever. Yeah, basically the duo that's in charge of making all the wrestling themes now. No more Jim Johnson, I guess. Basically those guys have been putting the spotlight on WWE's YouTube page. They showed a video finally showing their faces, because I ain't never seen their faces until now. But yeah, they had the CFOS, the creators of your favorite WWE themes and whatnot. So they talk about
the themes have come a long way in the last 5 years.
Yeah, they talk about their background, how they've had a background in rock, One of them had a background in hip hop, and they like different genres. So like they are able to do the rock shit, the hip hop shit, the electronic EDM type shit, all that shit, and blend it and make sure they can blend it in and they can suit different wrestlers and shit. So it was really cool to go through their process. They went through their process for Shinsuke's theme and Bobby Roode's theme as well. So if you want to check that out, that's on WWE's YouTube page. So I think they got like 3 or 4 videos on there, like highlighting those guys.
Yeah, those guys definitely step above the past themes. Because I mean, like I'm looking at some of the other guys. Like I like Paige's theme. I like AJ Styles' theme. A lot of these guys' themes now are just so much better. I mean, and Nakamura's theme is so fucking awesome.
Because, like, the funny thing is that if you look back, maybe, like, even 4 years ago, some of the themes for superstars were, the newer superstars were kind of trash. Like, even, like, what, one example, AJ Lee's. That shit didn't fit her. Like, if you listen to the fucking lyrics in that song, that didn't fit her at all. Shit was garbage. But yeah, they're doing some great work the past like few years.
I mean, yeah, I remember Daniel Bryan once actually shitted on his own theme.
Oh, the Flight of the Valkyries?
No, before Flight of the Valkyries, like they got me coming out here to generic rock music, and then right after that they gave him Flight of the Valkyrie, and then they switched it to rock Flight of Valkyrie. But he actually in a promo before they gave him the theme, he was talking kind of dead, like, and I got generic rock music, like what the hell?
Yo. Okay, which one I was going to segue to, the freaking talking smack shit. Like, this dude, Daniel Bryan, doesn't have too much of a filter when it comes to his displeasure and shit. So, like, he'll straight up say, like, he said, like, yeah, whatever, it's something that's going on that kind of fucking sucks and whatever. So, but yeah, but during Talking Smack, they had John Cena and some of the divas talking and whatever. John Cena was talking about he's still waiting on somebody to go take his spot and whatnot. Trying to see who's going to be the guy, who's going to be the face.
Face that runs the place.
The face that runs the place and whatnot. Still hasn't seen it, so he'll keep going until he sees that guy, you know? Which definitely makes sense, I guess, whatever. I think Daniel Bryan had taken exception to a few of his comments previously, talking about guys who they'll leave and go wrestle somewhere else because they have to, like him, because he's got fucking a lot of other shit going on. If he leaves the WWE, he can go do talk shows. He could do talk shows. He could do sports and analyst shit. He could do, like, acting, whatever. But a lot of these other guys, wrestling is it. That's it. But, yeah. Shit. So, speaking of wrestling, a lot of the divas, it's hard to still, like,
adjust.
Reprogram yourself after all this diva bullshit. But
WWE spent so many years getting you to use the word diva and superstar instead of wrestler and female wrestler.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, a lot of the female wrestlers, a lot of women wrestlers on SmackDown have kind of aired their grievances. They want better segments. They want actual matches. And more importantly, they want something to fucking fight for, you know? Because like they're looking at what they're doing and it's like this shit is pointless. Like it was who is it? Naomi, Becky Lynch, even Natalya were all in agreement. Like, yeah, we need something to fight for. This is not cutting it right now. Like they tried to tiptoe about it, about like how they felt about like the women's wrestling in SmackDown right now, but you definitely know that they're not as happy as they should be, you know?
Yeah.
Indeed.
But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like WWE was a little bit sloppy with their game plan when it came to splitting up shit, because, like, it didn't seem to, like, on the SmackDown side, it didn't seem like there was any type of real plan for tag teams and women. It just didn't seem like there was anything. So now it's almost like they're just trying to scramble to figure it out now.
Kind of, never mind, I was about to compare it to something and that might have went off into a tangent. Never mind.
What was it?
I was going to say it kind of reminds me of the last DC Comics relaunch, New 52. They had that shit figured out for 4 months and then nothing made sense afterwards.
That's right. Because, like, when the New 52 originally came out, I was, like, heavy into, like, reading comics. But then after a while, I was like, I don't know where shit's going. And, like, ended up canceling a whole bunch of my subscriptions.
I gotta say, they've so far learned from their past mistake, because the current reboot's actually pretty damn good.
Yeah, I might want to check out DC. Because, like, Marvel's just pissing me off, like, with all this, like, all the events.
I don't know what's going on. Did you see they got their asses handed to them last month? I've never seen Marvel get a beat down that bad.
Because a lot of what they're doing is, like, shock value and, like, buzzworthy shit, and they're not putting out fucking quality to go with it. They're constantly talking about, oh, we got a female Iron Man. We got a female Thor. Black Girl is the most intelligent person in the Marvel Universe. But they're putting out bullshit.
It doesn't matter how many cool characters you have, the stories fucking suck. The only things I'm reading from them are Silver Surfer and Wolverine. The Wolverine book I like.
With X-23 Wolverine?
Yeah, one's actually fun. But, like, I'm a huge X-Men fan, and I'm pretty much buying no fucking X-Men books.
This the wrestling again. It's basically the same thing. If you look at WWE, you look at fucking Marvel is supposed to be the top dogs, right? And it feels like they're just kind of resting on their laurels like WWE has for, like, the longest time. And they have all the tools but don't know what the fuck they're doing to do with it. You know?
Yeah.
That's what it's.
Marvel actually has competition. If WWE had competition, like real competition right now, they could take advantage of this shit.
Exactly, man. See, I always gotta try to make it go full circle, so we don't feel like we're actually, like,
jumping
off that much.
No, never fails.
It's not that bad, all right?
You asked him and was like, nah, go ahead. And y'all just put the hazards on and busted in turn.
Man, I drew it back. I brought it back, all right? That's just what I do. That's what I do. Just like Mark Henry. That's what I do.
Mark Henry right now.
All right, shit. All right. Just for, like, other little snippets and whatnot, I already told you about the CFOS videos on YouTube. Other shit that you could check up on YouTube. WWE, I guess people have been highlighting WWE sneakerhead-wise for a little bit. Complex, you know, Complex Magazine, they have their website and their Twitter and their YouTube.
They used to send me free magazines every month, and I didn't know why.
Yeah, but they had their hip-hop and urban fashion and whatnot. But, yeah, Complex has a video with Shane McMahon. Basically, he talks about his shoe game, and basically a lot of it's talking about, like, his Jordan 1s and all that shit like that, because, you know, he's a big sneakerhead. He collects that shit. He doesn't go for the flags and shit, but, yeah, just check out that video, and that's on Complex's YouTube page. And also, soulcollector.com, soul as in, of course, feet, soul, S-O-L-E, has an interview with Enzo Amore's shoe game, so... Yeah, you can go ahead and check that out on their page. So, yeah, everybody getting that sneaker game going. You know.
I did not realize Enzo's last name was Amore. I just call him Enzo.
Yeah, Enzo Amore, man. Yeah, man.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
They were always just Big Cass and Enzo to me. All right, cool.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, the news with Alberto Del Rio and Paige, how both of them have been suspended on the same goddamn day. So, and both allegedly for wellness policy violations or whatever, so they'll both have a nice vacation with each other for 30 days. It comes at a weird time because it's Paige's birthday and they're together, and it just feels really like WWE's trying to do some funny business here. It just feels really dirty the way they're trying to pull this type of stuff. It definitely feels reminiscent a little bit of the whole AJ Lee CM Punk shit, where they sent CM Punk's release form and letter or whatever in the mail to make sure he got it on his wedding day. Yeah, man. Petty McMahon, man. That's what Vince is. Petty McMahon. That's what it seems like.
Also, Paige has got some workout videos of herself on her Instagram, and a really nice picture of her and Alberto, too, if you actually look at people's Instagrams. Her Instagram's pretty good.
I think the only Instagrams I follow are Enzo's. His is kind of cool because sometimes he takes pictures with like rappers and like R&B singers and shit. It's cool, dope as hell. And then who else? Emma's. Yeah, I follow Emma's. Even though she is kind of turning into an Instagram model these days. That's basically what has come off. It comes off as now.
Well, definitely Paige's stuff does not look like an Instagram model. A lot of these, she just looks very casual in them.
Yeah.
I don't really follow Instagram, but I check hers every once in a while, and I check Tanahashi's, because Tanahashi is like the male Instagram model on his fucking Instagram, man.
But Emma's is like quintessential like Instagram model, because she takes pictures of like she takes modeling pictures and posts them on there. She posts like other typical shit. Of course, you know, the number one staple for these Instagram models, once they get like enough followers and whatnot, is that they start promoting like detox teas and like and all these like trimming shits and all these other crazy like products and whatnot, and just hawking that stuff. So
I'll say this, like with Tanahashi's, if now that I know he's like got a family and kids, it looks like he's trying too hard to be young.
Yeah,
because I'm looking at him, he looks like he's still trying to be 20. I mean, like I rock the wallet chain too, but he's got the t-shirts, the hat to the side, big sunglasses. I mean, mostly he's like, come on, dude, you got a wife and kids?
Bruh. Dude. Does he even have a picture of them?
He's probably made fun of at school. Like, what's the bad thing? He's 22?
Okay, does he have one picture of them on his Instagram?
I think I've seen one picture of his son. And they were kind of modeling. Half his stuff, he takes these shots in front of, like, this wood wall. I'm assuming it's at his house.
Yeah.
But like, that's his
perfect spot. Everybody has their one spot in their house or apartment that they take mad pictures on.
Yeah, I think this. I'm looking at a picture of who I think his son is, because I've seen him in a couple of his pictures. I don't know how many kids he has. I know he has a son at least. Yeah, I can look at it. He's like, he's doing embarrassing dad pictures. Like, I get it. You're a celebrity. Look normal.
Yo, shit. Yo, and then who else do I follow on Instagram? I think it's like, I think Finn Balor. Yeah, Finn Balor is cool to follow on Instagram. John Cena is funny on Instagram because all he does is post random pics. And then most of the pics are like from like the 90s or like the 80s. Mostly the 80s and shit, like random shit like kids would like mess with back then and whatnot. So it's always funny. But sometimes he makes them like relatable to like certain like things that are going on in the world or WWE or whatever, but it's always fun to watch that.
Yeah, I just came on and I haven't been over here for a while. He's got fucking Double Dragon and Battletoads screenshots and Kenny Loggins Danger Zone.
Yeah, see, it's mostly 80s stuff, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Shit. Oh. Kind of want to check other people's Instagram, but I think we're derailing, huh? Yeah.
Speaking of social media, apparently Diamond Dallas Page posted that Zach Gowen is the first disabled DDP yoga certified instructor. Yes, Zach Gowen. Also, one of the few disabled people to compete in American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
So go Zach Gowen. And Zach Gowen has done wonders with himself, man. Like, to be able to, like, continue and do good work after all of this shit. Like, after the beatdown with Brock Lesnar and all that shit that he dealt with in WWE. And he's a very inspiring dude, man. He just, every day he gets up, it's like he's just building more inspiration, man.
Can you imagine a tag team between him and Gregory Iron?
Yo, they did have one.
They did?
Yeah, they did have one. I think it was called like Disabled Heroes or something like that. I have to remember what it was.
It was the Handicapped Heroes.
The Handicapped Heroes, that was it. Yeah, I know Pootie was heavy in AIW and shit like that.
Yeah.
And like back then when they were the tag they were a tag team and shit. So yeah, they were the Handicapped Heroes.
If I was running a promotion, I'd have pushed their ass to the moon and farther.
Gregory Iron, he's actually a pretty cool heel, actually. I like him.
Yeah. I never got around to watching his match with Veda Scott where she was wearing the, was it the wedding dress when they had the cage match?
I missed that one. Because, like, I think I had stopped watching AIW and a lot of other indies around that time, probably.
It's too hard to keep up with the indies,
man. It's very hard because there's so much shit, you know?
They all need to get together and team up and do a streaming wrestling channel. I mean, come on, guys. You're stronger together, and it would be better for me.
Hey, man, that's why they got that. That's why they always got that shit during WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, you saw the lineup shit this year.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, they got a lot. Yeah, a lot. They made sure they stacked that shit.
Yeah, Brock, Shakara, Shimmer, Jesus.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy how they pull some of the UK ones because since they're all getting bigger because Progress and Rev Pro have gotten so fucking huge in the past year.
Yeah, I really like the Marty Skrull dude. It's awesome. Did you see his Joey Ryan bit for the Iron Man Championship thing?
Oh no! Yes.
Oh, it's him, Joey Ryan. Fucking Peter Avalon and Rocky Romero. Their video is great.
But yeah, we saw, me and Pootie saw Marty Skrull live, 3 months ago? At the Evolve 63? I think it was 63, right?
Probably 63.
Yeah.
Marty, I like Marty a lot. He has so much fucking personality. But after that tweet Cody Rhodes did last night, I can't call Marty Skrull the villain anymore because fucking Cody Rhodes got that shit on lock, studying his opponents in his theater room, smoking a cigar. Oh, yeah, what the fuck?
That shit was baller. That shit was baller. Me and Pootie and Rob, who was part of the original group of this podcast, will be at Evolve 66 on Friday and watch him face Zack Sabre Jr.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was cool, and that was awesome for the fact that I think Cody Rhodes was originally supposed to face somebody else. I forgot who it was, but it wouldn't have been as cool to see.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes got the best ass fucking lineup of opponents coming up and shit.
Yeah,
they still haven't announced some of the people he's facing at places like Final Battle.
Oh yeah, that's right.
They better bring Katsuyori Shibata in, because I know that's who he wants to be wrestling.
Yeah. Because Katsuyori Shibata finally got his visa shit worked out.
Yeah, he's there this week. He's there this weekend, I believe.
Yeah, we'll go over that shit later. And other little tidbit news, the trailer for Surf's Up 2 came out today. Yes. You know, Surf's Up 2... Wave Mania.
I
Oh, the Penguin movie. All right.
Yes, man. God damn, you guys. No reaction from you two. None.
You know, if the movie came out like a long time ago, holy shit, it's been 9 years. Yeah, dude. I didn't see it when it came out. It's been 9 years. I knew it sounded familiar, but I'm like, for some reason, I thought Surf Ninjas for a moment. Like, wait, what?
No, Surf Ninjas came out like 25 years ago.
Yeah, that movie was awesome.
Yo, that movie was the shit. It was terrible, but it was the shit. I don't care what anybody says.
Stone Loke, Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider was terrible.
What's his name from Naked Leslie, Gun?
Yeah, Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, that movie was amazing.
Yeah, Leslie Nielsen, RIP, man.
I'm going to fucking watch that shit tonight now.
What else do you have on your thingy?
On my docket? I don't have shit. Like, that Surf's Up 2 shit was the last thing.
That was the last thing. Okay. Westside, do you have anything on your docket? I'm calling that. Or maybe he really went to watch Surf Ninjas.
No, I got nothing.
Okay.
He got nothing.
All right. Cruiserweight Classic also happened last week. Probably one of the better episodes besides the one 2 weeks ago. With a whole Gargano and Ciampa, which I believe is the best match storytelling-wise. They had two matches last week. The Grand Metalik against Yoshihiro Tajiri. Tajiri did finally defeated, like I booked. Grand Metalik is going over. That was actually a pretty good match, too.
Yeah, I was looking at the Lucha Twitter while it was going on. And some of the Lucha guys didn't realize Grand Metalik was that good of a mat wrestler.
Yeah.
They were like, that was damn, I've real never seen this side of him.
That shit was dope as hell, man.
Yeah, they were both, like, Tajiri too. Like, they were really, that was probably the more mat technical type of match. Probably we're going to get that from Gulak and Zack Sabre, maybe.
Yeah, because all the other ones, it was like technical guy versus non really that technical.
Right, versus high flyers. More high flyers than anything here.
Yeah, and, I mean, Grand Metalik, I knew he could go on the mat, but usually he's called upon to just be ridiculous. But for some reason, this really reminds me of, like, the super crazy Tajiri era. I would love to see these guys go again.
Yeah, not a bad match. A really, really clean match. No mess-ups, no nothing. The next match, Kota Ibushi going up against Cedric Alexander. I'm pretty sure both of you guys saw this.
Yeah.
Cedric, man, you know, I was happy to see the guy actually show his talents that we all know. And he fought. But no one right now is beating Kota Ibushi. He was the winner. People were already saying it was match of the year. They were saying, please sign Cedric. You know, I was just happy to see that man out there.
Beautiful, man. That shit was.
It was like, because we've seen him come up, you know, in the indies. And yeah, he lost, but that was besides the point. That man, Cedric, made it, man. He made it. That man is about to be living large and definitely in charge. We already know how.
I heard that Ring of Honor actually cut out his, like, farewell on their video.
Yes, they did. Yes, apparently. Yeah, who told, I think Sugar Dunker did. He was the one who tweeted out that, like, yeah, like, they cut out his farewell. They I guess they were that petty. Cause.
They cut out Moose's?
No, Cedric's.
No, I mean, cause remember he had one when we were there at Maryland.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if they cut his off, too.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
See, the thing is that ROH wants you to be company guys. It feels like these days, ROH wants you to be comedy guys, be happy with your position, and whatever. And if you leave when they wouldn't have wanted you to leave, then they're kind of salty about it. Like, I don't know.
They should be feeling real
now. Now, and then I think even worse that, like, he leaves and everybody has been talking about, like, oh, ROH is let him go. ROH is let them. How fucking stupid are they? And I guess they felt so angry about that fact as well that probably played a factor in not airing that type of shit, because that would even kind of incense people even worse. I don't know. But ROH has just been fucking up, period.
Uh-huh.
One of the problems they have is they think of themselves as this company that's larger than they actually are.
Yes.
I mean, if you really that concerned, pay your wrestlers more, book more things, stop letting New Japan pretty much walk all over you, which I can't, don't mind, mad at, because the New Japan guys are really, even their worst guys are still booked better than your normal dudes. Like, you could put a guy I like in Ring of Honor against Yujiro Takahashi. I'd still book Yujiro over them simply because I know they're not booking the guy from ROH well anyway. At least this guy's done some shit. You know what I mean?
Well, what about the match? Do you think the match was like, what, a five-star match, match of the year? Was it better than
it was
the
match?
I believe it's a match of the year candidate. That's what I believe. Just,
I'm not...
Honestly, personally, just for...
Just
over the way it went throughout and, like, the raw fucking emotion that went with that match, yeah, I definitely feel like it's a match of the year competitor for me.
I have it on my list, but my list has gone from a short list to being, like, 20 or 30 matches.
Mine is...
a little harder for me to go back to it.
See?
But the raw emotion of it, if I might end up going more than a top 10 this year, because this has been a really fucking good year for wrestling quality.
Yes, yes.
But it is definitely, if I had to just put all the WWE matches together, for sure, it's a top 10 match.
Yes.
Top 5.
Yeah, like, I still, like, my match of the year is still Okada versus Tanahashi from Wrestle Kingdom because of the story building and whatnot.
Same with me.
Yeah.
But, man, and I still think Sami Zayn versus Nakamura is still, like, NXT match of the year. But if you want
to
say...
I'm about to pull out my WWE NXT list to see what the fuck I have on that shit right here. Where are you?
But while you're looking for that, like, yeah, like, I would go, like, that Cedric Kota Ibushi match, top 10 for me, like, all around. For me.
It was just really hard-hitting.
It was a beautiful match.
It was really the strikes was crazy. The near falls for Cedric was crazy. Cedric didn't even hit any of his signature moves, and he almost won.
Oh, yeah, right.
Anyway.
Right?
Anyway, not one signature move he did.
A mean-ass brainbuster he had on that shit, too.
Oh, yeah, he did hit that. Nice.
Which I was surprised they did. He did a little brainbuster.
So this is what I had from all the WWE, including Cruiserweight Classic NXT. Obviously, Cedric Alexander, Kota Ibushi on my list. Zayn Nakamura, Revival American Alpha, Owen Zayn Battleground.
They fought three times.
The Revival American Alpha one? I think it was the first one.
The
Dallas.
The NXT TakeOver the end, yeah.
Yeah, that was the first,
Miz, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Cesaro from Extreme Rules. The women's WrestleMania match, I'm pretty sure I'm definitely putting that on there. And then the roadblock match between Mechanics and Enzo Gas. So it's basically like 6-7 matches. But of those 7 matches right there, I would say it might actually be just like maybe a hair more than Zayn Nakamura. I would probably, if I had to rate these now, I'd put it that... Zayn Nakamura, and then the women's title match, if I had to do it in order right now.
Yeah, the three-way?
The women's match, yeah. Because that's definitely still the best women's... Well, that or, I don't know, that or the Lucha Underground No Moss match are the two best women's matches I've seen this year, maybe even the last few years. Well, maybe not, because there's the Sasha Banks-Bailey feud. Definitely up too.
Can't forget those.
Yeah.
As far as, like, CWC first round... The best match is Gargano and Ciampa. Second round,
as much as I like that, I didn't like it enough to go on my list.
I would have put it there just for the storytelling, because most people, they watch NXT, I know they do. So they are more familiar with these two, and they're about to get tag title shots soon.
Yeah.
So everybody was invested in this. Not a lot of people... They probably seen about enough Kota Ibushi as they did Cedric Alexander. Now they've seen both of them go at their peak and shocking the world. And then you see Cedric Because, like, I was watching, and then they get, you know, they show the matches for next week. And then it just kept rolling, and they was like, please sign Cedric. I never heard a crowd chant, please sign anyone.
Yeah.
Before. And then you see Triple H just come out there like, yeah, you know what? We could probably work this out. Let's go back and have a talk real quick. You know, that's
Some people were joking, saying that Triple H came out there just to, like, kind of, like, all right, man, you trying to soak up too much. You trying to get Kota Ibushi all this hype, and you trying to cut it out, bro. You gotta get out of here.
I didn't get that vibe. I get that Triple H wanted to acknowledge him for sure, because he went out, and he might have went out with the best match of the tournament. We don't know yet.
Right. And mind you, everybody was hyping this match up already. You already got
it lived up to the hype, and sometimes that's incredibly hard for wrestling matches.
Yes, you are correct. And I believe in the next matches, I think they're going to do three.
Well, yeah, because we can't be giving Ho-Ho Loon more than like 6-7 minutes, please.
Well, that's the match that I wanted to see. Him with Ho-Ho Loon versus Noam Dar, and I saw Noam Dar on that Water Culture show, and he lost his match with Doug Williams, and now he can't come back to Water Culture now. And I'm like, that's the reason why I was watching Noam Dar in the first place, because of Water Culture. But, yeah, Ho-Ho Loon going up against Noam Dar, and these two have more to prove than anybody in the second round.
They have to over-deliver, man.
Yeah.
Basically. Over-deliver.
Or at least have just
The first two matches, I don't want to have
a Cedric Alexander, Cody Ibushi type match.
Yeah. But the first two matches of the second round set the fucking bar. Even that Tajiri Grand Metallic match was fucking incredible. It was great.
Yeah. I mean, it's nowhere near as good, but that's like practically almost a 4-star match they opened up with. And then they hit that shit with an arguably 5-star match of the year. I mean, that first show, these guys, I mean, I know the other guy lineups look good enough to kind of match it, but Ho-Ho Loon and Noam Dar, I mean, I'm just thinking that's like 2 stars right now. They need to give me at least a low G1 match, which for me was a 3¾-star match. That's what I gave most of those matches. I am kind of expecting that from second round and up. They got to deliver that for me.
I've seen enough matches from Noam Dar that I still believe he can do it. Ho-Ho Loon, when he fought Arya Daivari, who I thought Arya Daivari was going to go over, but they gave it to Loon. And I was like, okay, Loon, you won this match. You got to show me something in the second. When Noam Dar beat Gerv Sira, they didn't link really well. So I gave him a pass for that. So now these two got to be creative and do something. Wow, the crowd. Because not a lot of people was, you know, up in arms for either one. Out of the guys in the second round, these two are the weakest. You know, so they're going to have to show something. Brian Kendrick is going up against Tony Nese. And regardless who wins, you're not beating Kota Ibushi. You're not. No way. Kota Ibushi has all of the flame right now. You know, so
I don't know who I would want to go on. I think Tony Nese could probably do a better match at this rate, but I think that the psychology of Brian Kendrick as a heel going might be better. So that's debatable. Yeah.
Right, that is debatable. I'll take either one, you know. But they might actually main event. Actually, they might not main event the show. They might go second. This might main event the show. The Extraordinary Gentleman, the fan favorite Jack Gallagher, going up against Akira Tozawa. And I'm booking Gallagher to win. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. He's going to face Grand Metalik in the third round. That's what I'm booking. I got Akira.
You know, if they're going up against Grand Metalik, I kind of have Akira too. I mean, as great as Gallagher is, I think that would almost be too much of a clash of styles. I don't think I've ever seen a luchador like Metalik wrestle someone as technically gifted. Or of that world of sports style like Gallagher, exactly. I could not see that happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, but it's WWE. Logic isn't that great when it comes.
But
I mean, it's all about styles, you know.
Yeah,
Cruiserweight Classic, you know. So it's all about matching up with different styles, no matter what. You know, so either one, Grand Metalik can face either one. It, honestly. The one match I'm looking forward to is just Darn Loon. Just curious. I don't care who wins Kendrick and Neese. You're not beating Ibushi. And I'm gonna just cheer for Jack because he was just cool. Him against David Ackner. He was just cool. I like Tozawa. Nothing wrong with Tozawa. I'm pretty sure he actually might win, but I'm just a fan of Gallagher. I don't want to see that man lose. He's just too cool. Cool.
I actually want WWE to pick up Tozawa and hook him up with Itami. I think a Japanese tag team would be a smart idea.
Yeah, cool. Because have they ever like actually gone that route with a Japanese tag team?
Not just the Orient Express, I don't think.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And God, please, if they would do that, I would not want to see an Orient Express again. Come on.
All right, so I guess we'll move on to the... Wait. Okay, yeah. Matches of the weekend?
All right.
Cool.
Yeah, matches of the weekend. Here we go.
Yeah, WWE was pretty much the only thing that happened this week.
Golly.
And she won, so...
I got a lot. First thing is AAW show called Showdown. And they're having this Jim Lenham Memorial Tournament next month. I don't know who that is. I probably got to look him up.
What's his name? I'll look him up right now.
Jim Lenham. Lynam.
Okay, Jim Lenham. Give me a moment. American form. So I don't know if this is the right guy. He's an American former college and professional basketball coach. I don't think this can be the same dude.
Is he from Chicago? Or did he die recently?
No, he didn't die. He's from Philadelphia. I'm going to have to put the word wrestling
in. That's Philadelphia. Born and raised.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, no. Jim Lenham is the owner of AAW. Okay, never mind.
Okay. So, yeah, they're having a... Jim Lenham Memorial Tournament next month, and the winner of this match earns a spot. The four guys are in this match: Kongo Kong, M20 Matt Cross, Josh Alexander, and your client Moose.
Moose.
TNA Moose. Did they keep his name in TNA?
What?
Did they keep his name in TNA? Did they keep Moose?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, he's still Moose.
The match that they have here is Desmond Xavier going up against King Ricochet. The Hooligans of Devin Amazing Cutter going up against your boys Homicide and Eddie Kingston.
Yeah.
The besties of Matt Fitchett and Davey Vega and Heidi Lovelace going up against the killer cult of OI4K and Jessica Havoc.
Jim Lenham died last August.
Okay. Yeah, because it said Memorial Tournament. So that was last thing.
Yeah.
Hearing about him dying now.
Yeah, I had to go through a couple pages because they didn't even mention it on the AAW Wikipedia site. Someone's doing a terrible job of keeping indie companies up to date on Wikipedia. All
right. Team Tremendous going up against Trevor Lee and Andrew Everett from TNA. Your hero, Chris Hero, is going up against... Okay, I'm going to try to pronounce this guy's name right. Shigeru Iri?
Yeah, I believe that's it.
Shigeru Iri? You mean, yeah. Okay, it's the Japanese dude, chubby, he has a green mohawk.
Yeah, isn't he like traveling to the United States for the first time or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, I believe so. Because like, he wrestles normally for DDT. You know, same place that Kota and Kenny Omega came from.
I think he just came to the States. He was like, fuck it, I want to wrestle over here.
Yeah.
Like, I saw someone, like, post up him, like, taking pictures of, like, just typical American stuff. You know, and he's always smiling, so it was pretty cool.
So happy.
I think he was at the Gathering of the Juggalos, too.
That makes sense.
Huh?
That makes sense.
So he's facing Chris Hero. AR Fox going up against Jack Evans, and I'm pretty sure that's for the Heritage Championship. And Sammy Callahan, the former AAW heavyweight champion, going up against Johnny Mundo, a.k.a. John Morrison. Evolve 66, that's happening Friday, August 19th in Joppa, Maryland, where me and
yeah.
and Rob, we will all be there to shake hands with y'all fans, because I know y'all listen to us. Special attraction tag team match, Tracy Williams and Fred Yehi of Catch Point going up against Peter Casa and Jigsaw. I haven't seen him in a while.
I haven't seen, like, Peter Casa ever, so this is the first time. Like, because, like, I've seen pictures of him and him being, like, swole as fuck and whatnot, but, like, I haven't seen him wrestle, so I don't know shit about him.
I think Jigsaw just got back into Chikara a little while ago, where he's been doing,
he's been doing some stuff. I believe he's been doing some wrestling in the UK a little bit, too.
Yeah, Jigsaw's a really talented guy. I hate that he doesn't get a lot of bookings.
You know what? A lot of people don't like him.
Really? Because I know Gabe apparently really likes him, which makes it weird.
Yeah, Gabe likes him, but like a lot of other places aren't really hiring him.
The next match they have is All Evil Ethan Page going up against one half of the Evolve Tag Team Champions, Dustin.
Yeah.
Just Dustin.
And it's on all caps, too.
All caps, Dustin. WWE Cruiserweight Classic Spotlight match, your boy Cedric Alexander going up against TJ Perkins, and another Cruiserweight Classic Spotlight match of Tony Nese versus the Legal Eagle Drew Gulak. Two main events will be here. This is his first match, I believe, in the Indies for a while. I don't know if he'll be back, but this is Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes' first match going up against Zack Sabre Jr. I don't know who booked this, but good job. Good job.
Yeah, good job. I heard it was a different guy, so
I thought he was wrestling a fucking Johnny Gargano on one of these shows originally.
Was Zack Sabre Jr. on one of his lists?
I don't think Zack Sabre Jr. was on his list.
I think he was on his list.
Was he?
Yeah.
I'll look up the list real quick.
Okay. Cody Rhodes versus Zack Sabre Jr. And the other main event for the Evolve Championship, No Holds Barred. Matt Riddle going up against the champion, Timothy Thatcher. And if Thatcher gets past that at Evolve 67 in Brooklyn, he would defend his Evolve Championship against Catch Point later, Drew Gulak, if he's still champion. Tony Nese going up against Peter Casa. Matt Riddle going up against Tommy End. We guess won't see Tommy End this time. Cedric Alexander going up against Zack Sabre Jr. from a Cruiserweight Classic Spotlight match. Six-man tag grudge match. Drew Galloway, Ethan Carter III, and Dustin going up against Tracy Williams, Fred Yehi, and T.A. Perkins of Catch Point. Cody Rhodes will face not Cassius Ohno, but Chris Hero. He will be facing that guy. How about Ring of Honor? Ring of Honor is having one of their...
Quickly, no, Zack Sabre Jr. is not on his list.
Really?
I didn't think he was.
Well, he's one that should have been on the list.
Yeah. Right.
This is actually on pay-per-view from Las Vegas, Nevada. They love going back there, but not coming here. I don't understand that. Okay.
They don't like going to California either, so.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely true. Death Before Dishonor 14 is coming from Las Vegas. The matches that they have here. Oh, wait. Pre-show.
Oh, New Japan actually put these Ring of Honor shows on their official list of New Japan shows, too.
Oh, yeah.
The pre-show. If anyone gives a damn, Veda Scott going up against Candice LeRae. Just to spark that show off. Woo, women's wrestling. Ring of Honor World Television Championship number one contender, Four Corner Survival Match. Kami Matachi versus Donovan Dijak versus Leo Rush versus Jay White. And I'm going to be pulling for Leo Rush on this one. Actually, or Jay White. Or Donovan Dijak. Maybe not Kami Matachi.
Come on, man. Kamatachi's going to be the bridge between them and CMLL now that they got the working relationship.
One of the two. I don't know. In a grudge match, Jay Briscoe going up against Hangman Page. Page is probably going to get his. Actually, he might beat Briscoe. I don't know. The Bullet Club of Yojiro Takahashi, Tangaloa, and Tama Tonga going up against Chaos members Beretta, Toru Yano, and Rocky Romero.
So basically, God is teaming up with the Tokyo Pimp.
Yeah.
and they're facing off against Chaos members of, what they call them, Roppongi and Chairman.
Yeah, I just call them RPG Vise. I'm not trying to mess up the name of the city.
Hatsuyori Shibata.
It's Roppongi. It's Roppongi.
I believe it's his debut in Ring of Honor, Hatsuyori Shibata.
Yep.
He's going to make his debut against the Last Real Man, the person that challenged him a month ago.
Stylist.
Young.
Stylist.
What are the chances of Shibata hitting him with the headbutt?
Stylist.
He's going to counter it somehow, because you can't headbutt Stylist Young. He's unheadbuttable. Non-title, for some reason. I don't know. I didn't book this. The IWGP Heavyweight Champion of the World, the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada, going up against Dalton Castle.
Dalton Castle still with ROH?
Yeah, apparently.
I heard he left, but...
I thought he left.
They paying him, man. He better be there Friday.
Maybe he's staying for the possible New Japan connection, because I think they kind of like him. I would not be surprised to see Dalton Castle show up at, like, their junior tag tournament thing, teaming with Taguchi like he did.
Oh, I forgot. Speaking of New Japan, we forgot to talk about that little, like, vignette, like, video.
Oh, the time bomb?
The time bomb. The time bomb said 1993 hours. I calculated that shit using the Google and shit, and... that equates to 83 days. And I believe it had been at least 7 days since Ryback's release from WWE. So my money is on Ryback being in New Japan.
Okay. It might be. They have said that he's talked to New Japan. Though some people are assuming it might also mean Suzuki Gun's coming back, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's the two rumors basically. Either Suzuki Gun or him, but my guess is him.
And New Japan doesn't really do too many of these kind of vignette things, so that's interesting.
Triple threat match for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championship. The champions of The Addiction, for some reason they're still the champions. They're going up against Michael Elgin and Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Tetsuya Naito, and Evil.
What they should do here is they should lose the titles to the New Japan team, and then basically just have the Briscoes defend the New Japan tag titles in ROH for a while, and then have the ROH titles defended in Japan, because the Briscoes aren't making that many trips over.
Well, I mean, there's two New Japan teams. There's Elgin and Tanahashi and Evil and Naito.
Yeah, they can give it to either team, too. And I mean, both of those teams have tag team moves, and they work. I've actually really wanted to see Naito and Evil take on Elgin and Tanahashi, because those were two of my favorite teams in the World Tag League last year.
Yeah.
I mean, Naito and Evil, man, those guys are smooth as fuck. And then, of course, Tanahashi and Elgin, you got the superstar, and then you got the super strength. That shit's just crazy.
Right.
I like both these teams better than The Addiction.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I feel like almost anything is better than Addiction at this
point. Right. Definitely. The Ring of Honor World Television Championship will be on the line. The least of the better Briscoe, said by Bobby Fish. Mark Briscoe going up against my client, the television champion, Bobby Fish. And for the Ring of Honor World Championship, the main event of the show, Bullet Club's Adam Cole, baby, going up against the world champion, Jay Lethal. And I'm sorry to say this, but it might be a world champion title change. I don't know. I'm going to be pulling for Jay Lethal, but... I mean, story shows it that, like, Adam Cole might win that title again. I don't know. I think it's just because I think I like Jay Lethal so much that I don't want him to lose to anyone, unless it's Kyle O'Reilly or Bobby Fish.
Honestly, ROH doesn't have that many guys to win that title off of Lethal other than Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. I mean, who the fuck do they have?
They lost their future superstar in Moose. They dropped the ball on Cedric. I mean, some of these guys have probably got a foot out the door waiting for WWE or New Japan or someone else to give them some fucking money. Right. They got nobody.
So would you give it back to Cole?
See, here's the thing is, only reason I would give it to Cole is if I was worried Cole was leaving. I would rather Jay Lethal lose the title to someone more interesting, someone who hasn't been champion. But they don't really got anybody like that right now that I think is good. The only thing I can think of, and I know it's not going to happen, is Tanahashi straight said he wanted to wrestle Jay Lethal for the world title. That's more of an interesting match to me than this. And I know that's probably a bad idea, but they've already done Cole versus Lethal. They've already done Cole as the champion.
They already did Jay Lethal versus O'Reilly, too.
Yeah, and that...
That's how you injured the shoulder and get the Bullet Club.
ROH really needs to find something. Hire some... Look, there are indie promotions that got guys who aren't being picked up by Evolve or whatever that they can hire. There's a couple of guys down in Chicago they could probably pick up. There's a bunch of Southern dudes. I didn't watch the Scenic City Invitational, but the people were talking about some of those Southern wrestlers down there. They bring Jimmy Rave back as a heel. He's still apparently... having really good
matches.
They were
trying to get Jimmy Rave over.
Yeah, well, I'm saying this because the reviews still have him doing really good matches down where he is. But, I mean, I just saw a clip of a guy who's an illusionist and a wrestler. This motherfucker made Joey Ryan disappear and took his title.
Oh, Jerick, 120.
Yeah. Yeah. He beat what's his name for the title by making him disappear. I was like, oh, shit, give him the title.
Jerick has a ton of Facebook followers, apparently.
He's already more over than half the ROH roster.
Yeah,
I mean,
because it's based off his magic and clickbaiting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why not Josh Alexander? Why don't they hire that motherfucker? He's good. He looks dangerous. That would be great. There's a whole lineup of great possible talent that ROH can use. ROH used to be the place where all the indie wrestlers wanted to go, and they need to be that again.
Now
I don't.
Now it's WWE.
Yeah, I don't want.
Everybody want to be in NXT now,
right? Yeah. Yeah, that's the place to go. That is the place to go. ROH had that feeling. They really did. They had all these matches. I bet you on your list, Westside, you have all of these wrestling matches from all these companies. Top matches for 2016, is any of them Ring of Honor matches?
Of the little I've seen of Ring of Honor, no. But I have Ring of Honor on my New Japan
list. I have one, and I had to go. So we had to go watch that live for it to happen, notice it.
See? All right, so let me get through this. The TV taping that's happening the next day, the All Night Express going up against the Gorillas of Destiny. Another six-man tag team match, The Addiction and Kamatachi going up against Roppongi Vice and Toriano of Chaos. IWGP Tag Team Champions, the Briscoes, going up against Jay White and Leo Rush. That match would be pretty cool.
Yeah,
and for the Ring of Honor Television Championship, if Bobby Fish or Mark Briscoe, whoever the television champion is, they will face Katsuyori Shibata.
If Bobby Fish comes out this still the champion, that is one sign that Bobby Fish is probably moving up to heavyweight in New Japan. Because Kyle O'Reilly said he wants to move up to heavyweight in New Japan. If Bobby Fish keeps the ROH World TV title, I think he might too. And that would be a very good, cool thing, having a new Red Dragon show up as a heavyweight tag division instead of the junior tag division.
Right.
So I like that idea quite a bit.
All right. Now, we move on to the big show. Saturday, NXT TakeOver Brooklyn Dose. The first match they have here, actually a debut match, Ember Moon, who we fully known as Athena. She is debuting against God knows who, and frankly, I don't care. I just want to see her. I want to see her there in Brooklyn with a big crowd. She's going to get a big pop. She's going to show her big moves. It's going to be great. What do you think of the name Ember Moon? Is that cool?
If she wanted to go with it, I'm not arguing. I have a signed picture of her overlooking me, So whatever she wants to do is great.
Now, everyone seems to be keeping their names nowadays, like Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles and all that, Bobby Roode. She changed her name, but do you think they give them choices?
Yo,
to change the name?
Or, I think you have to have status of some sort.
Because before, coming to WWE, you're getting your name changed. Like, that was it. CM Punk got lucky. You know, but now, some if they're famous enough, they're going to keep their names, Gallows and Anderson.
I also think Triple H doesn't care as much as long as they seem like they can bring in fans.
Right. I mean, Ember Moon's not a bad name. I like it. It's cool. Nothing wrong with Ember Moon. But yeah, she's going to debut. Not bad. I think last year,
Ember Moon just sounds like a video game character. It's just kind of hard to take it at first. And you're like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yo, Ember Moon, the way that she had her vignette and her name, it just felt like it was a Mortal Kombat character. So I was like, is this Glacier 2? I'm joking.
No.
I wouldn't go that far. I'm joking.
I hope not.
Oh, man, Glacier Mortis, man, awesome shit, WCW.
Austin Aries, the greatest man that ever lived, Mr. Hit.
Which is a damn lie.
He is facing off.
He's a douchebag.
No Way Jose. I don't think No Way Jose has actually lost. Who do you guys got this? Who's going over here? If you're the booker, man, who's going over, Aries or Jose?
No Way Jose by DQ.
Hmm, okay.
They're going to try to drag this out. I feel like it'll be him by DQ.
It says here he was co-trained by Trevor Lee. Wow.
Huh. Interesting. Maybe for like a day or two.
Well, I guess he came up through CWF Mid-Atlantic with those guys, with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I haven't seen No Way Jose wrestle yet, so I don't have as much of an opinion on him.
Is this Arsenal, like... I've seen, like, maybe a match or two from him, and his arsenal is kind of lackluster to me. He incorporates a lot of dancing into it, and his finisher is basically like a wind-up punch. Kind of, so it's like he's going to bay. So it's stereotypical Dominican baseball type of shit.
Yeah, well, it's weird.
I'm only going No Way Jose because he's buddies with Shinsuke Nakamura, so, you know, that makes him awesome.
Alright, I'm gonna go with Austin Aries via cheating. Cause he's a dirty heel. Next up is, Andrade Almas, going up against the glorious Bobby Roode in his debut match.
Glorious.
Takeover.
I won't give in.
You know, so they got this man Bobby Roode debuting. Almas just debuted maybe a takeover ago. Who's gonna win here? These guys are really new.
Glorious.
Okay, I guess you're choosing Bobby Roode.
I guess it would probably be smart to have Bobby Roode win. I'm still a little weirded out that with what they're doing with Andrade, because this guy's an incredibly talented wrestler,
I don't think.
I mean, what's separating him from all the other good wrestlers on the roster?
Honestly, I think they should have did a version of La Sombra as the heel luchador. Because he was a really good heel. I don't know. Something just seems off. Like, I know him as just... He always... I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. It just seems kind of weird, especially with his look. I guess they saw him without the mask and said, we should book you as a... more handsome Mexican wrestler, and I don't think that really can go too far.
Okay.
So, I guess as far as the match goes, yeah, I'll go with Bobby Roode. It might turn out to be a pretty good match, though.
Might be. The Revival, the two-time NXT Tag Team Champions, going up against Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. These guys, good story. Good way to fighting them off, because Revival's like, hey, we ain't going to fight y'all yet. We got to worry about DM61. Okay, we're not going to fight you. We're going to fight American Alpha again. Now y'all can face the tag team champions. You know, I like the confidence of this team. And I like the confidence of Gargano and Ciampa. But who do you think is going to win? Who is going to be the NXT tag team champion?
Revival.
Yeah. Revival's just too good as a heel tag team. They're a team I'm worried when they get called up to the roster, because they flow really fucking well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I like Gargano and Ciampa, but to me, they're singles wrestlers. I'm going with the tag team.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Revival, too, because they don't flip. They just don't flip. Next up, NXT Women's Championship. The former champion, Bayley, going up against Asuka, who I believe has probably only had, like, 5 matches this year alone, maybe 4. but, yeah, she hasn't lost neither. She's the champion. Bayley, I'm predicting Bayley to be called up on Monday Night Raw right after SummerSlam. So, what do you guys think? Their last match, really, it was good, but it wasn't like, you know, the best.
This one's gonna be hard hitting. This one's gonna be like, it's gonna be nasty, but Bayley's gonna take the L on this one.
I think the last match, it was just the shock. It was the shock way it ended.
The way it ended.
Before that, the match was perfectly great. And then it just ended in a weird way, and you're like, I can't believe they did that to Bayley.
Like, what the fuck happened? Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Asuka wins. Bayley's gonna get called up. I did not realize her name is a homage to Lioness Asuka. Huh. I'm looking at her Wikipedia. Lioness Asuka is one of the greats.
Oh,
and apparently made the Tower Hacker Bomb, which is that back rack into a power bomb.
Back rack, yeah.
Now, what happens if Bayley wins the NXT Women's Championship?
She's not going to win it, so it doesn't matter.
She's not going to win it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, if they put the title back on Bayley, it makes no sense. Bayley is ready. Bayley's been ready. Bayley needs to be on the fucking main roster selling t-shirts to even more young girls. I'm talking
Raw.
Merchandising.
Think Raw or SmackDown? Raw or SmackDown?
Raw. Most definitely Raw.
Because they have a title, and they would want Bayley in the mix.
Exactly.
Okay.
Segue.
Damn it.
U.S. men's basketball team got that W, boy. They were down in the beginning of the goddamn game, and they destroyed fucking Argentina. Even DeMar DeRozan had the nastiest 360 dunk with 30 over 30 points ahead. That was the most disrespectful shit I had ever seen in my goddamn life.
Oh,
so
man.
Disrespectful. Okay, that's it.
If we're talking Olympics and wrestling related, the Japanese woman's the first wrestler to get 4 gold medals, I think.
Oh, really?
Ever.
Right. Yeah, people are breaking a lot of records this Olympics, left and right, man.
Yeah. It makes me wish I watched the Olympics more, but I never know what the fuck's on, and when I turn on, it's one of the events I have no interest in.
Did Jordan Burroughs wrestle yet?
I don't know. I think the wrestling thing's still work going. It was at least still going on a little while ago because Nakamura was tweeting about it.
Because yeah. Jordan Burroughs is like, I think he's at the 75 kg weight limit, and he's like basically the star for the men's wrestlers for the U.S. and shit. He's a black man. And he can win back to back, which I don't think they say that it hasn't been done before. So that'll
be dope. WWE is gonna try to hire him right after this.
Hell
right?
Yeah, they're probably gonna try to sign that nigga. Definitely.
All right, the NXT heavyweight championship.
See how I
see how
back to wrestling the WWE.
No,
I went back to WWE on that.
Shinsuke Nakamura going up against the dominant champion Samoa Joe. Who's winning at TakeOver Brooklyn, Dose?
I don't even know.
I got,
Samoa Joe.
Like, I don't even want to say any shenanigans will happen at this one. So, I'm going to go Shinsuke.
I'm going Samoa Joe.
I'm going Shinsuke.
I honestly can't pick, because I'm thinking one of these guys needs to be on the main roster soon, but either one of them is ready. And
you don't think that the main roster has enough guys on there?
Huh?
You don't think that the main roster have enough
I think they have.
Guys
I think I think, I honestly think one of the guys needs to go up, and one of the and Bayley needs to go up. It, I because so? Samoa Joe and Nakamura, they're just too, you know, it's Nakamura and Joe. I just, I feel like they've always been ready for the main roster. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nakamura, can you imagine him like on SmackDown for sure? They could really use a boost in a charisma, guys.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And or Joe going on to maybe Joe, Raw. Joe
and Raw seems applicable. Yeah, I think that.
Yeah. Honestly, I think there's room for either of those guys up. I mean, obviously one of them could stay. It's just with so many people they have in NXT, you kind of feel like with some of the older dudes who don't need to be there, they're kind of taking up space. And as much as I love these guys, I really will. I really think we need to see some of the other guys coming up, too.
Okay.
But between these two, I can't pick. I really can't.
All right. So now we move on to SummerSlam 2016. They got 11 matches here. I believe two of them are going to be on pre-show. First of all, is this, what, 5 hours?
Matches before
this,
the
it's going to be forever. What were you asking?
Because they haven't been doing the pre-show matches until like the day before, the day of lately.
Like, well, they got hella matches here. That's why I'm like, what's going to be on main show? I heard the Intercontinental title was pre-show. That's what I heard. But looking at the other two,
I wouldn't be surprised, because I forgot to mention on SmackDown there was a segment between Miz and Apollo, and it was during commercial. They had aired it. Like, oh, during commercial, Apollo Crews was called Apollo Creed and ended up powerbombing Miz for it. They kind of put it out as a matter of fact. So, like, yeah, they're not really, like, focusing on that IC title at all.
And that's kind of bad, because Miz has actually been pretty good as a bad guy lately.
Yeah.
I have to put this one on the booking for not knowing that they got a good heel with Miz right now. And, I mean, they just can't figure out. I don't know what their vision for Apollo Crews is, but it's a terrible vision.
So who do you got with
it? It sucks.
Apollo Crews or the Miz?
Miz
is winning. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Miz is winning.
The last Black Hope. What happened to the Hope?
We got Cedric Alexander, the new Black Hope.
Okay, so this the new
Rich
new Black
Swan,
Hope.
The emergency Black Hope.
Okay, all right. So now Apollo Crews is gone. Like you said before, the first match of the Best of Seven series, Sheamus going up against Cesaro. Who's taking the first fall?
I actually think Sheamus will win this one, because my understanding is Cesaro has been winning their matches.
Wait, okay, so it's Best of Seven, so that means...
This is really going to end up being the best of nine.
They need to win four matches?
Yeah, they need to win four matches.
I want it to be 4-1. Cesaro.
You want Cesaro just to destroy Sheamus the whole time?
I mean, have you ever seen it? Do you want to see seven matches with these guys?
It's WWE. It's going to go seven matches.
Do you want
to see the last time they had a best of seven anyway?
Never. Not sent. Oh, wait. Actually, they had a best of five between Benoit and Angle, I believe. That might have been.
They had another best of something series. I think Cesaro was in that one, too.
Damn
it. I don't know. I'm going to just say Cesaro for the first one. I don't really care. Next. Women's tag team match. That's why I'm confused to seeing if this is going to make the pre-show or not. It's got to be. Carmella, Becky Lynch, and Naomi going up against Natalya and Alexa Bliss. And Eva Marie, my client. And I want her to get, like, maybe, I don't know, something in her eye or her contact comes out and she can't see.
She ain't gonna make it to the match at all.
Or she is just gonna, I don't know, she's gonna be looking for a tag and somebody from, like, the back is gonna grab her and be like, she has a family emergency and has to leave the match. Something. I want it to be super comical that she just never gets in the ring.
Okay, I found it. Best of seven, Benoit versus Booker T in WWE. 2005 might have been the last time.
Okay.
And those guys had a best of five or seven in WCW.
Oh, the same guys.
Same guys, because I remember they had a feud in WCW, and I'm pretty sure it's the same guys. Basically, somebody in WWE was like, we don't know what these two guys do. We don't have anything for these two guys. We'll just redo the 1998, I believe it was, for them. So, 98-2005.
All right. So, next is a tag team match between the very entertaining Chris Jericho and Mr. Entertainment Kevin Owens going up against Big Cass and Enzo Amore. How you doing? So who's winning this match? Does it matter?
It really doesn't matter, but it's probably going to be Enzo and Cass.
Yeah, probably. Next up, Ring of Honor tag titles, the WWE World Tag Team Championship. The champions, The New Day versus Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. Who's going to be the
Gallows team? Anderson.
I think it's time for new champions. Luke Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah, it's time. It's time. It's Gallows time.
Do you think Big E is going to turn heel on this guy? Is that in the future? Because, I mean, you always got to ruin a good thing, you know. It can't stay on there. Stay the New Day forever, you know. Something's got to happen.
I don't know where they can go with the New Day. I mean, they are the best act they have, but there is the problem that they could lose the freshness. It's hard to say. It's really hard to say.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, the WWE Women's Championship. And yes, by the grace of God, Dana Brooke has been banned from ringside. Oh, geez. The champion, the boss, the legit boss, Sasha Banks, going up against the former champion, Charlotte, in the rematch from Monday Night Raw. Who do you guys got, Sasha Banks or Charlotte?
I got Sasha.
I want to say Sasha, but something tells me WWE is going to pull some fucking shenanigans and we're going to get this match again. So something's going to happen. I don't know if Charlotte's going to win the title or some shit's going to go down. I'll just go Sasha.
Yeah.
I'm just worried that they're gonna stretch this feud out too damn long.
I'm going with Sasha too. WWE United States Championship. To see who the champion of the United States is. Rusev Machka defends his title against Roman Reigns. They did have a match on Monday night, but I don't know, McMahon put some like fairy dust to make everybody forget. This is going to be a U.S. title match. Who's winning? Are they going to keep the title on Rusev, keep him on a roll? Or is Roman Reigns out of punishment?
Rusev by shenanigans.
I'm going to go with Rusev by shenanigans. Actually, not by shenanigans. I think he's going to beat him clean.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Punishment continues until otherwise. I mean, Roman Reigns has been losing clean for about a good month and a half.
Yeah, you're right.
So
I'm looking forward to this match, probably the most of every match on here.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, AJ Styles going up against John Cena. I believe the last time they fought each other was a tag match. Cena got the pinfall of that, but the last one-on-one match, due to altercations from the club, AJ Styles won. So this is kind of the third match. Who's winning, John Cena or AJ Styles?
John Cena.
Yeah, I got Cena.
I'm going to say AJ Styles. This time.
Okay, guy who didn't think Kenny Omega would win more than two matches.
It's just weird that Cena's got to get... He's got to lose some more. I mean, nothing wrong.
You would think so.
He lost a lot, but I don't know. Like, I think if Cena loses, not going to hurt him.
No.
Yeah, you know, he's already like impenetrable to that. But I don't know. Something tells me AJ's going to steal him. I don't know. I think AJ. I'm gonna just go AJ.
Right.
I mean, my fourth favorite wrestler, man. All right. WWE World Championship. My client, Dolph Ziggler, going up against Dean Ambrose, because the ladies love Dean Ambrose. I'm sure all of y'all are picking Ambrose, no shit.
Pass.
And Dolph Ziggler.
You said pass. Yes, Petty.
You and Dean got to talk. Have y'all seen the interview you had with Austin?
I passed on that, too.
Oh, yeah, man. I passed on that, too. I'm not going to lie. I didn't watch that show.
Oh, not a fan of that guy. All right. So next up, Finn Balor going up against Seth Rollins to see if they can become the first champion of the universe. This could end the show. If it was me, it would. The Demon Balor actually came out Monday Night Raw. Didn't want that to happen. I actually would have saved it for SummerSlam. But, you know, they love rushing shit. So, who's going to be the first Universal Champion? Is it Seth Rollins or is it Finn Balor? First NXT Champion going up against the longest reigning NXT Champion. So, what do you guys got?
I am picking Finn Balor as the new Master of the Universe. He's going to vanquish Skeletor.
What about you, Doomsday?
I got Finn Balor.
I want Finn Balor to win, but I think Seth is going to pull it off. Oh, wait, Demon Balor? Fuck that. I'm going with Balor. Balor has only lost to one man, and that's Samoa Joe. He ain't losing to Seth Rollins now. And next up, probably could be the main event. I hope not, because it only lasts only 10 minutes. Brock Lesnar versus Randy Orton.
Honestly think this match has to be better than the Lesnar-Dean Ambrose match. It has to be.
If you heard the interview, Dean called Brock Lesnar lazy. You know, he was looking forward for that match to be really good. Brock just was like, nah, I'm going to suplex you and then just go home, get my paycheck, and go. That's where I don't understand.
Honestly, I think Brock Lesnar just didn't care enough about Dean Ambrose. And I don't
think he cared enough about Orton?
I think he cared. Look, the few interactions Lesnar has had with Randy Orton have been better than the interactions between Lesnar and Ambrose. I mean, I think Randy Orton kind of understands what he's getting into more than Ambrose probably does, and will probably play to it better. Plus, I'm pretty sure he's going to hit an RKO out of nowhere. He's going to reverse the fucking F5 into an RKO. I'm thinking that's going to have to happen, and I'm going to pop real big if it does. That's all I know.
All right. I'm still
winning, so.
Yeah. Lesnar's winning. Doomsday, is Lesnar winning?
Yeah, I got Lesnar winning.
Okay, Lesnar's winning. That's it for the shows of the weekend. I don't know where I'm gonna be for SummerSlam. Probably at work.
You punk.
Sorry. I saw the schedule and she said it was, you know, from 11 to 9.
That's
normally it'd be like 11 to 4 or 11 to 5, and I'll probably just get saved. But it's okay. I'm not mad.
That's terrible.
That's terrible. Sorry. Y'all want to do 5-star wrestlers, or y'all want to close it out?
You want to close it out?
All right.
Yeah.
He close it out. Is that not me? Let's go ahead and plug your ish.
Alright, doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on the Twitterers, doomsday519 on YouTube as my primary channel. Secondary channel, Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as in PWG Gorilla. Also Doomsday Gorilla as my Instagram. And yeah, that's it.
And what's that?
I don't give a fuck about any of you people. Apparently, Tommy's beating up Prince Ali Truth tonight.
Yeah, he's the other CWC guy, Mustafa Ali. So I was like, all right, that's cool. I wanted him to win the match, but, you know, Hideo got to get over. He's not even booked on TakeOver. He just got back.
He's got to get back into ring shape. Though these clips they have him on Twitter look good.
Alright, and on Twitter at NNZ Podcast. If you want to follow me, please do. I like to talk. Alright, and that's it. So, Doomsday, you got any closing words here?
hey, 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 smoke weed every day.